The greatest tragedy in life isn't death. It's life without purpose. We were made to have meaning. When life has meaning, you can bear almost anything. But without it, nothing is bearable. Without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance or hope. You know, in the Bible, many different people express this hopelessness. For instance, Isaiah complained, "I've labored to no purpose, and I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing." And Job said, "My life drags by day after hopeless day. I give up. I'm tired of living. Leave me alone. My life makes no sense." But when you realize how much God loves you, with an extravagant, irresistible, unconditional love, then His love will change your entire focus of life. And you will experience love as God means it to be, filled with hope and energy and joy. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called When Your World Falls Apart.
Lamentations 3, verse 28, Jeremiah says this. I love it in the Message. When life is heavy, and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait. Wait for hope to appear. The reason you feel hopeless is you're not waiting for hope to appear. Now, did you know that God wants to talk to you? He's trying to talk to you all the time. So I never have God talk to me. It's because all your circuits are busy. He calls you and you're on another line. You're listening to the iPod, iPad, radio, TV. You're talking to somebody else. Your life is very seldom quiet. And God can't get through. All the circuits are busy. In order to focus on God and to get alone with God and wait, you're going to have to eliminate some distractions in your life. Notice it says there, enter the silence. Circle that. Enter the silence. What does that mean? Get in a receptive mood. It means to say, God, I want to hear you. I'm eager, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm able, I'm teachable. And you enter the silence. Jesus taught the very same thing Jeremiah is recommending here in this chapter. Jesus taught it in the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what he said, Matthew chapter 6. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. In other words, go off in secret. Role play before God. He says, you know, don't be trying to pray the prayers where you're trying to impress everybody else. Just get off by yourself and be there as simply and as honest as you can. Just whatever you can manage, just get as authentic as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. That ain't going to happen unless you're quiet. You got to be quiet. Now, I want to challenge you to make a commitment for the next 7 days. That you'll say, God, for the next 7 days, I'm going to spend 10 minutes in silence with you every day. And you can read your Bible after that. You can pray after that. I'm talking about just sitting in silence for 10 minutes. And you just say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? And you be quiet. You wait on God. You will be amazed at the strength that you will gain from this. After you have been quiet, if you want to read the book of Psalms, that's a good place to start. If you'd like some devotional material, I write a daily devotional called The Daily Hope. It goes out to about 600,000 people every day. And if you'd like to get it, it's free. You just go to pastors.com and you can sign up for My Daily Hope. It's a daily devotional that'll encourage you, a little scripture and thought about that. But notice it says the focus shifts and you actually start slowing down. Have you noticed that life always goes into slow motion when you're in a waiting room? Have you noticed how time slows down when you're in a waiting room? It doesn't go fast. You're waiting on a doctor. Has it only been 5 minutes? When you're waiting, time slows down. You know how to make it go slower? Go to a hospital waiting room and wait there, and it really slows down. You don't know how to make it even slower than that? Go to a funeral home waiting room. You know what? That's a good thing. That is a good thing. To slow down. Because your life runs at such high RPMs all the time. You don't ever slow down. You don't ever be quiet. So the focus can't shift.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called When Your World Falls Apart from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Now notice what Jeremiah says in the next verse, verse 25. The Lord is good to everyone who trusts in Him. So, it is best for us to wait in patience, to wait for Him to save us. Wait in patience, wait, circle the word wait both those times. He's talking about the importance of waiting. He's saying before you go out and try to solve all the problems yourself, before you go out and try to rebuild your life on your own, you need to just sit down and wait. And wait on God to save you. We've all seen these war movies, military battles, where the good guys are outnumbered 10-1 by the enemy, and the enemy is marching up with their guns or their bows and arrows, and they're coming up to face a much inferior crowd. You don't have as many bullets and you don't have as many arrows. And the wise general or the leader says, you guys, you don't fire until I tell you. Braveheart does this, a lot of guys. You don't fire until I say. That famous William Preston said it at the Battle of Bunker Hill. He said, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. In other words, we're not going to waste bullets that are going to miss. And so the enemy is marching, and the enemy is getting closer and closer and closer, and they're outnumbering you 10-1, and closer and closer, and your leader is saying, wait, 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 don't shoot, wait. And you're going, they're getting awful close, boss. The enemy's coming in, and you're aiming at them, and they're 10 more than you, for every one of you. And the boss is saying, wait, wait, wait. And finally, Braveheart says, now. Or Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai says, now. Or in a dozen other movies you've seen, now. And then, and the right timing, victory is assured. You will lose the battle if you do it on your time. The only way you're going to win this battle in life is do it on God's time. God's timing is perfect. And He's telling you to wait. Wait on Me. Now, the next thing God tells you to do, once you're saying, okay, I'm ready, I'm waiting, then while you're waiting, I change the things that I can change. That's the fourth thing Jeremiah tells us to do. Change the things that I can change. Now, let me make this clear. There are a lot of things in your life you cannot change, and you will never be able to change them. You're never going to be able to change your past. You're never going to be able to change who your parents were. You're never going to be able to change the natural gifts that you were given by God or the ones you don't have. There are a lot of things in your life you can't change. If you have a certain handicap or you have a certain, you lose a loved one, you can't change that. You've lost that loved one. A lot of things in life you cannot change. And the only way to overcome some things in life is to simply accept them. Accept them. This is the principle of submission. This is the principle of surrender. This is the principle of acceptance. Peace comes when I accept the things in my life that cannot be changed. If I keep fighting about them the rest of my life and keep saying to God, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair, you're just going to make yourself miserable. I must accept the things that cannot be changed. Faith is facing the facts without being discouraged by them. Yeah, it's bad, but I'm not going to be discouraged by it. But while I accept the things that can't be changed, I do change the things that can be changed. Okay, what can be changed? Your life has fallen apart. Somebody's walked out of your life. Somebody's died. You've lost your job. You're not getting it back. What? Those can't be changed. What can you change? I'll tell you what you can change. You. You can change you. You cannot change anybody else. So quit trying to change them. You can't change your husband. You can't change your wife. You can't change your boss. You can't change anybody. The only person you can change is you. So you start working on you. What can I change in me? How can I be better, not bitter, as my world has fallen apart? Now, this is going to require some honest, gut-level self-evaluation. And you're going to need to do an inventory of your life. You're going to need to do a relational inventory. Say, how is my relationship to God? An honest evaluation. How is my relationship to my husband? To my wife? How is my relationship to my kids? How is my relationship to my co-workers at work? You do a relational inventory. You do a moral inventory. What are the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups that are messing up my life? What are the sins, the persistent things that keep bringing me down? You do a moral inventory. You do an honest evaluation of your life so you can change the things that can be changed. You say, what's wrong in my life that I can change? Jeremiah says this in verse 40. He says, let us examine our ways, that's an inventory, and test them and return to the Lord. Repent, to return, to change my mind. Let us examine our ways and repent. You know, about, at least 35 years ago, I wrote a little personal evaluation thing. I made my own, and I called it Heart Cleansing for Personal Renewal. And I made a list of key areas in my life, my relationships to others, my priorities, attitudes, integrity, mind, money, possessions, body, walking in faith, family, mission, all these things. And about once a year, at least once a year, I'll pull this out, and I read through these questions, and I ask myself the tough questions about life. Why? The Bible says, let us do a personal inventory. Examine our ways and test them. You need to learn to do an evaluation of yourself. Now, when you start doing this step four, change what I can change, and you look at your life, you're going to realize there's a lot of unresolved emotions in me. Because when your world falls apart, things don't go as planned, you're a bundle of emotions. You feel grief, you feel anger, you feel frustration. You may feel regret or maybe a little guilt. You may second guess yourself. You may say, what if, or if only I had done that. And you've got all these emotions that you're going to have to deal with. But there's one emotion that I'm really concerned about as your pastor that you get out of your life. because it is the most damaging emotion of all. You need to deal with all of them. But there's one emotion that's going to keep you from rebuilding your life after it's fallen apart. And you know what that most damaging emotion is? Fear. Fear. Fear paralyzes you. Grief doesn't paralyze you, but fear paralyzes you. Do you guys remember many, many years ago, the old newspaper columnist? Anybody remember Ann Landers? You remember Ann Landers? Yeah. And Ann Landers, in her heyday, would give advice to people in the newspaper, and she would receive up to 10,000 letters a day. And she was once asked, what's the most common problem people ask you about? She said, oh, without a doubt, it's fear. 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 The fear of the future, the fear of going broke, the fear of failure, the fear of death, the fear of being alone. This is all of the different fears that people have. Now, Jeremiah had a real reason to be fearful. Because not only was his nation falling apart, economically, socially, militarily, falling apart in front of his eyes, he was a prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet. And so as he spoke, he was telling the truth about why the nation was in decline, and it wasn't a popular message. So Jeremiah was very, very unpopular. And so he had a lot of reason to be fearful, because in those days, they didn't have blogs. And so nobody could just write, Jeremiah's a skunk. You know, he wasn't a skunk. By the way, he wasn't a bullfrog either. If you laughed at that, you're really old. He was a good friend of mine. Okay. He wasn't a bullfrog. He was a prophet. And in those days, there was no place to just throw verbal grenades at a guy. So you know what they did to people they didn't like in those days? They would put you down in the bottom of a well and leave you there for a few days, because they didn't like you. And often it was a cistern, which would mean just a dugout hole filled with water, and the water would be putrid. But they would put you down in a pit. That's exactly what happened to Jeremiah. He kept telling you, let me tell you what's wrong with our nation. Let me tell you how to correct the problem. And nobody liked what he was saying. So they took Jeremiah, his enemies took him, and put him in the bottom of a well. Now he's in the bottom of the well. The water is coming up and flowing up over his head. And it says also, they threw a bunch of rocks down on top of him. That's pretty frightening. He didn't know how long he's going to be in there. He had every reason to be afraid. And the Bible tells us this story. He's literally in a pit. You talk about being in a hole. He's literally in a hole. He's down, dooby-doo, down, down. And in verse 53, it says this. My enemies threw me into a pit, and they dropped stones on me, and the water flowed above my head. And I cried out, this is the end. But I called on your name, Lord, from deep within the well. And you heard me. And you listened to my pleading. And you heard my weeping. Yes, you came. You came at my despairing cry. And you told me, do not fear. That's what he needed to hear. Now, I've told you this many times, that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day of the year. Because the one thing God does not want you to do is be afraid. You can be angry at God. You can be upset. You can gripe. You can complain. You can question. But God says, don't you dare be afraid. He says, you can do all this other stuff. You can say, I don't like it. This stinks. It's unfair. Life is bad. And you can go on. But he said, don't you dare be afraid. He says it 365 times. Don't be afraid. So here's the fifth thing I need to do. I ask God to relieve my fears. I do what Jeremiah did. I called on your name. You listened to my pleading. You heard my weeping. You came at my despairing cry. And you told me, do not fear. You ask God to relieve your fears. You do what David did. Look at these verses up here on the screen. Psalm 34:4. I prayed to the Lord, and He answered me, freeing me from all my fears. God wants you to be fear-free. Psalm 27, verse 13. Look here on the screen. David was going through a tough time. His world had fallen apart. He said, you know, I would have despaired. He said, I would have been under. I would have given up. I would have been ready to throw in the towel. I would have despaired when my world fell apart unless I had believed, there's the trust, that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, I believed that God wasn't through with me. And so I wasn't going to be afraid. I trusted in God. Now, you remember during the height of World War II, FDR said, we have nothing to fear but... Yeah, that's nice oratory, but it's a flat-out lie. Because there are a lot of things you have a reason to fear, and they're legitimate fears. Now, one of the biggest fears that people have, I'm stuck, and this is never going to change, and this is hopeless, and I'm never going to get out of this, and my happy days are over, and all the rest of my life is going to be bad news, and all my best days are behind me, and all my worst days are ahead of me. It's that fear of, okay, everything has fallen apart and I am beyond recovery. That's fear. And it is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. It's a lie.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, we all face temptations every day. It's a spiritual battle that takes place inside us. And it makes us vulnerable, particularly if we don't know how to fight it. To overcome temptation is absolutely essential that you know the tactics that Satan uses to trip us up. And it's vital to learn the biblical defenses that God gives us. He has told us in His Word how to handle and how to manage the attacks of Satan. Now, in order to help you learn how to respond to the predictable patterns that Satan uses to tempt you, I've created a study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. This kit, The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, includes a DVD with 7 different sessions and a simple booklet that will help you learn how to overcome and defeat temptation in your life. You really need this. In the series, I will teach you the 3 kinds of temptation, God's antidote to temptation, and even how to avoid temptation in the first place. It is a study guide that you can use by yourself, but you'll actually get more out of it if you'll gather a small group of friends together and study it together as a small group. Now, I want to send you the Invisible War, Winning the Battle for Temptation study kit as my gift to say thanks for your support of Daily Hope with your financial gift. You know, we can't do this without you. And your generosity helps us take the hope of Christ into places all around the world and now to places that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. You can visit rickwarren.org, www.rickwarren.org, or you can call my staff at 1-800-600-5004. If you'll be a supporter, if you'll help me out, if you'll join my team, call 1-800-600-5004. And we'd love to pray for you at the same time. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.